This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by OTC.watch, where investors go to find big data on small companies. That's OTC.watch. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. Last time she was on my show was back in November of 2022, and I'm talking about no other than Acasti Pharma. They trade on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol ACST. And with us today is the CEO and president, going to bring us up to speed, Ms. Jan Devazi. Jan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Everett. It's great to be here, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Hey, before we get started, we got some new listeners. Give us just a little bit of an about statement. Who are you guys and what you do? And then we'll get into the Q&A.
Yeah, sure. So Acasti is a specialty pharma company, and we are focused on developing drugs for rare and orphan diseases. And just as a reminder, a rare disease or orphan disease is one where there's less than about 200,000 patients diagnosed each year. So, nonetheless, rare diseases make up almost 10% of all diseases. So there's a lot of them, over 8,000 actually rare diseases that have been identified. But we're focusing on taking drugs that are currently on the market, in many cases for different indications, and we're reformulating those drugs and repurposing them into orphan diseases where there's significant unmet need. The goal of our programs are to take marketed drugs and improve the efficacy and safety, and in many cases also improve the convenience of administration, and in that way we hope to improve clinical outcomes for patients.
Well, recently you guys reported the results for two separate clinical studies over the holidays. Can you tell us about the results on the first study for your drug candidates, I think GTX-101, and what does that mean for you guys, and what are the next steps going forward?
Sure. So GTX-101, just as a reminder, this is a very interesting program. We're targeting a disease called postherpetic neuralgia. And this is very, very severe, debilitating nerve pain that follows an infection by the shingles virus. And in some patients, this is just excruciating, and it can last for many years. And unfortunately, the current treatments on the market are not all that good. Typically, for cost reasons, payers require that patients go through an oral drug called gabapentin. It doesn't work well, causes side effects. And then they'll cover the more expensive lidocaine patch. The problem with the patch is that it's not easy to apply. It doesn't always fit where the pain is. It can take up to 2 weeks to start to work, and it can only be worn for 12 hours a day, and then you have to take it off. So there's breakthrough pain. And so what often happens is that the pain is so serious in these patients that they go on to opioids. Which, of course, we want to try to avoid because of the addiction potential.
Absolutely.
Potential.
Yeah.
So what we've done, again, with GTX-101 is we've developed a very novel topical spray. The core active ingredient is bupivacaine. It's a well-known analgesic that's used in outpatient surgeries because it acts so fast. You get this rapid onset of action, but it has a really nice sustained release profile. And so what we're doing is we're delivering it in a novel formulation on the skin, and the bupivacaine is driven down into the skin by some of the excipients we have in our spray, and it's not greasy. You can literally, go about your day, take a shower, go swimming, within minutes of applying this spray. And we think it's only going to need to be used probably once a day. It's not narcotic, and it has a very nice rapid onset of action. And this is actually what we were hoping to show in this study. We announced these results back in December, a few weeks ago, and we did a single dose study where we looked at three different dose strengths of GTX-101. And the key thing we wanted to do is see how the blood levels compared with the injectable form of bupivacaine, which, by the way, that's the only thing available in the United States. You can't get bupivacaine in any other format other than an injectable, which obviously is not real convenient for patients, right?
So right.
Our results were really exciting. We had very positive results. We met all of our primary outcome measures. What was really exciting is that we saw that the bupivacaine from our spray remains in the skin for a long period of time. This is just what we wanted to see. So we think it's going to have a long duration of effect, and we achieved the target blood levels that we were looking for. So this was very exciting, and now opens the door, you know, to move forward. To take this program forward into an additional multiple ascending dose study and into phase two probably later next year or later this year.
Yeah, people with type 2 diabetes with neuropathy, would this help them?
Yeah, that's a great point. In fact, the lidocaine patch is often used in patients with diabetic neuropathy. It's not approved for that indication, but it's broadly prescribed and it's reimbursed. And, you know, we did a market research study here a few months ago with about 250 physicians. They loved the product profile of our GTX-101 and felt that they would prescribe this preferentially over the patch for other indications like diabetic neuropathy. I want to emphasize, though, we're developing this for PHN. And our objective would be to expand the market into those additional indications in the future by doing, you know, additional clinical studies.
Your company also reported a clinical study results in December for your drug candidate, GTX-102. Tell us about those results and what do you see? What are the next steps for that program?
Yeah, sure. And just as a quick reminder, our GTX-102 is targeting a genetic neurodegenerative disorder that is usually diagnosed in very young children. It's characterized by impaired coordination. These kids have difficulty even crawling, but learning to, you know, walk. Their balance is affected. It also affects their immune system and predisposes them to infections and even cancers. They tend to be wheelchair-bound by the time they get into their second decade of life and, pass away in their 20s due to the cancer. But what we're doing is developing a drug. We're taking a drug called betamethasone. It's a glucocorticosteroid, and it's often used in treating immune disorders. It's also used in treating cancers. And this is where we saw the first indications that this drug could be helpful to these kids with ataxia telangiectasia. They actually showed as they were being treated for cancer that their symptoms of ataxia were actually getting better or improving. So what we've done is we've taken it and reformulated it into an oral spray and very easy to, administer to these kids. They also have difficulty swallowing. So it's a concentrated spray, sprays on the tongue, rapidly absorbs. And what we did in this study that we reported out results on December 28th is we did a study in human volunteers, about 48 subjects, and we studied three different doses of GTX-102 and compared it with the injectable form, which is what's approved in the United States. Again, not ideal for treating a kid every day with an injection, right?
No, so absolutely.
We think our spray is going to be much more convenient. But in Europe, there's an oral solution available, And actually, a clinical study was done with that oral solution and showed very positive, very encouraging results in these kids with ataxia. So we did that five-way comparison, so three different doses of GTX-102 compared to the intramuscular injection and the oral solution, and we saw very positive results. We saw exactly what we wanted to see. We achieved blood levels very similar to the IM, the injectable, and the oral solution. And what we saw is as we increased concentration, we saw a nice linear increase in blood levels. So this was really good news, and now is going to open the door for moving directly into phase three. So based on this data, we're now working with our clinical experts, and we'll plan to have a meeting with the FDA later, probably this summer, and discuss what the best final dosing regimen should be, and then move into our phase three study. That we're expected to start that probably in the second half of this year. So very exciting milestone for us.
Well, speaking of being excited, you should be excited about the next one, your drug candidate, GTX-104. I understand you're about to start phase three. When do you expect to start phase three? How big will the study be? How long will it take to complete? And what do you expect results could come or when they could come to be on the market?
Yeah. No, great questions, Everett. And so the study is going to be a safety study only. The FDA has already told us that all we need to do is show safety that's comparable to the oral form of nimodipine. And again, just a reminder, we're treating really sick patients here. These are patients who suffered a bleed on the brain due to a burst aneurysm. And they're currently getting an oral drug called nimodipine to relax the blood vessels and allow more oxygenated blood to get into the brain to enhance healing. But the oral has to go through the stomach, obviously. Many of these patients are unconscious, so they have to be given the drug through a nasogastric tube. The drug sticks to the tube. Even going through directly through the stomach, you get a lot of variability in blood levels. And this is a problem because it's a potent drug, and it really drops blood pressure. So you want to try to maintain constant blood levels. And this is what we've shown with our GTX-104, which is an IV form of nimodipine that's given in a continuous infusion. So the patients will get this drug the entire time that they're in the intensive care unit, which is typically 2 to 3 weeks. And we believe this is going to enhance healing. But again, back to your question. So we only have to show safety, and we believe we're going to be able to show that we're more safe than the oral because of this variability issue that the oral has. And so the study will be a small study in roughly 100 patients. So we'll have 50 patients on the IV GTX-104 and 50 patients on the oral. And we'll follow those patients for about a month. So for, 2 to 3 weeks while they're in the intensive care unit, and for about a week or so, up to a month after they leave the hospital. So the study can be done fairly quickly. It'll probably take about 15 to 18 months. We expect to start this in the second quarter. So just in a few months, we expect to gear up and get our first patient in. So this study can be completed by the end of 2024. And, it's an orphan drug, so we hope that the FDA will grant us fast-track review. And so the drug could be approved in 2025 and on the market.
You're sure bringing us a lot of good news today. Before I let you go, what is it that you want my listeners, your stockholders, to take away from the interview? And what do you see what's going to happen with the company here in the next two quarters?
Yeah, Everett, I'd really like them to see that, what we have said we were going to do, we've done. We acquired Grace Therapeutics and these terrific assets about a year and a half ago. We set these goals for ourselves, and we have hit every single one on time. And so we're very excited now. Really, 2023 is going to be a huge year for the company. We're moving two drug assets now into phase three. So our GTX-104 for subarachnoid hemorrhage and our GTX-102 for ataxia telangiectasia. Both those studies are going to be fairly, you know, small, so low cost, and we think especially 104 is a fairly low risk study. So we really hope that all will continue on, you know, going towards plan here, and we'll have our first drug approved in the next couple years.
As for my listeners, if you want to know more about the company, go to their website. That's www.acasti.com. That's A-C-A-S-T-I. They also trade on the NASDAQ with the ticker symbol A-C-S-T. Jan, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Hopefully you come back in 40 or 50 days and give us an update of what's going on with the trials.
You bet, Everett. Thanks. I really look forward to it.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.